Father, we give you the next moments. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this moment in time. We'll never get it back. We give it to you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on, just say that to him. Lord, speak to my heart. Talk to us, God. Show us your truth today, Lord. Encourage us, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Wow. If you can be seated, I don't know. It's so good up here right now, Josh. Thank you, guys. Stay close, okay? Just stay close. Stay close. Stay close. Wow, Nicole, you could have just kept on preaching, right? I think we had to talk her into this, but... I want to talk today about leaving a legacy, and a legacy of love, legacy of faith, a legacy of hope. And legacy takes time. Legacy endures. Legacy is very valuable. How we show love and grace and mercy every day. And quantity time, how many of you heard the term quality time? I'm going to give my kids quality time. Well, I think that's baloney, because you can't have quality time unless you give quantity time to something. Because those of you who have raised little ones know that those special moments happen at times that you don't plan it. It's those times in the car or feeding the ducks or something like that. That's the time that special moments happen. So we need to give God our quality time, but we also need to give him our quantity time, right? And I want to say this today. Legend and legacy are very different. Legend is what people think they know about you. Legend is what you have when you enter a situation, when you enter a job or you enter something. It's what people think they know about you. And it's your people on the fringe. We've seen a lot of fringe people since 2016, right? You can't trust people on the fringe, by the way. People in your circle is who you can trust. Fringe people are extremists. So one day you're great and the next day you're awful to them. Legend and reputation are very similar because they can both be elevated or they can be destroyed in a moment, right? But legacy is very different from legend. And that's where I want to camp out today, is building a legacy. And it's living intentionally. Now today, both of my children, my son Dylan is 31 and my daughter Sarah is 26, and they couldn't be with me today. And I'm okay with that because they're adults. They have to live their life. Dylan's on a fishing trip, having a good time, and Sarah is in Charlotte, North Carolina. And speaking of Sarah, I just want to apologize to not 26-year-old Sarah, but I want to apologize to second grade Sarah this morning. I need to set something straight, so just give me a minute. When she was in second grade, she decided she wasn't going to wear any clothes that were uncomfortable. And she took it further, and she wouldn't wear anything but yoga pants for a year and a half and joggers. Nothing but yoga pants and joggers. And I said, honey, listen, you know, we're going to church. And she said, but mommy, these feel good, and other pants hurt my belly. And I want to say to you, where is the lie? Right? So, second grade Sarah, I have never regretted one day that I wore comfortable pants in my life. Not one day. I've never regretted that. But we can live in regret sometimes, right? And so, legacy, we've got to understand that we live intentionally. And we raise sons and daughters, and not just physical sons and daughters, but spiritual sons and daughters who are strong, that can stand on their own. And why is this? Because in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, it says, we all must appear before the judgment seat of God. And I know that we try to shield our kids, and we try to rescue them, and we try to go talk to the teacher and the coach and on all these things on their behalf. But don't forget, one day they will have to stand before God on their own. So let's make sure that we're raising children, spiritual children and physical children, who are responsible, right? That's a legacy that we need to leave. They need to understand that in every seed, there is a harvest. And we have to understand that too. In every seed, there's a harvest. So we have to be careful what we sow, because it will grow. Amen? I want to go to Deuteronomy 7 and 9. And this says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations, those who love him and keep his commandments. And this is an important inheritance that we need to leave our children, and that we need to understand. Our inheritance is his provision. Our inheritance is our position in him. And our inheritance is purpose. You have a purpose today, and I have a purpose. We want our children. Let's go back to that scripture real quick, Amber. I think you're running. Aren't you running media today? Right. Just go back to Deuteronomy. And thank you, by the way, to all the people that do all the things up there. He is a faithful God. Know. That word know. We need to teach our children to know God. We need to know God. We need to know he's a true and living God. We need to know he's a faithful God. He is a covenant-keeping God. Amen? And he's a waymaker, just like they sang this morning. He's a waymaking God. Amen? So three things really quickly. And there's a fourth thing, but I don't know if I'll get to that or not. I may. But if we don't know and understand and accept the provision of God, then we can't understand position, and then our purpose gets wonky when we're out of position. So let's look at God's provision. You know, I think of a position and I think of identity. How many times have we heard that term lately? Identity. Well, identify. This is what we need to understand. It's very important that our identity is in Christ. Anything outside of that identity is a false identity. Amen? Let's look at God's provision. Now, it's interesting. This scripture, I believe my husband was on this last week talking about Genesis. Okay? And you might, oh man, Kelly, why are you bringing Eve up? She messed up. We don't want to talk about her on Mother's Day. Well, she did mess up. I mean, she did. And it seems that some interpretations that people speak about, they lay most of the blame on her. That's really not fair, and we don't have time to go into all the faulty interpretations about women in the Bible. But I do want to say this. In Genesis 2:15, God placed Adam in the garden, and he was supposed to watch over it. That's all I'm saying. And then in Genesis 3:9 and 3:11, God said to Adam, where are you and what did you eat? And he said, this woman you gave me, she gave me to eat. So he blamed God. He blamed Eve. And then he made no mention of the person that really was behind it all, which was the enemy. So he was blame storming. That's what we used to, the job I used to work, when we'd go to meetings when things didn't go right, you know, it's, well, mistakes were made, but not by me. That was Adam. But it's like a scale. You have guilt, you know, and you try to balance it with blame, and you still have guilt, you know, so you might as well come clean. Then he had to ride all the way home with Eve and deal with her, because he threw her under the bus. But Eve said, you know what? This is what happened. The serpent deceived me. and I ate. She was just like, I'm just going to tell you straight up, that's what happened. I did it. She took responsibility. Oh, and she called the devil out too. She said, you did it, buddy. Here's what I want to say about this scripture. In the beginning, the first failure, right out of the gate, God said, I'm going to send somebody through woman. He's going to crush your head. Immediately, redemption. Immediately, at the starting gate, God was way ahead of the enemy. And I want you to know that today. He's way ahead of the enemy in your life. Amen? Amen. Right out of the gate, he ordained Jesus Christ, the serpent crusher. He is a serpent crusher. And he said in 1 John 3:8, this is why the Son of God even appeared on the scene, to kill the devil, to thwart his works, to destroy the devil's work. So God's ultimate provision is through Jesus Christ. That's our provision today. And I wanted you to see that because from the very beginning, you know, I know we talk about Christ's crucifixion and we lump it in the New Testament, but God in the very beginning, he said, I see what you did and here's the remedy. Amen. Let's look at our position in Christ very quickly. Ephesians 2:6, God has brought us back to life together with Jesus Christ, and he has given us a position in heaven with him. When we trusted Christ, we were made alive in him. We were dead in our sin. And Mark 16:19 says this, Jesus sat down. He sat down. Now, you might ask, why is this even significant? Because in the temple, in the Old Testament, in the temple, there was no seat in there for the high priest. Because he couldn't rest because the work was never, ever done. Hebrews 10:11 said, every day the priest went to the altar, he made a sacrifice, and he had to do it the next day, next day, next day. And it never made a dent in our sin. Never made a dent. The work of Christ is finished on the cross. Genesis 3:15, he will crush. That's why Jesus is now seated in heavenly places. And according to Ephesians 2:6, you have a position with him in heavenly places. So I say to you today, take your seat. Take your seat. We are to leave a legacy that points those following us to their identity in Christ, to their position in Christ. Now, we can't get position and condition confused, because sometimes my condition doesn't always reflect my position, right? Position means that we are abiding in him and he's abiding in us. John 15, it says that. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you will. Now, this is why throughout church history, trying to do behavior modification does not work. It works for a time. It maybe worked for some of us. You know, that you were so scared of hellfire, you didn't want to, you know, wear whatever or do whatever or go whatever, be whatever. But we never talked about position. Your position. You're seated in heavenly places. This is a finished work. So we have to understand that behavior modification does not work. Our authority in our position in Christ is what we need to understand. My position in Christ is secure and steadfast. We must hold fast to this truth. Sometimes my condition doesn't reflect that. Yes, yes, but I'm growing in grace. I'm growing in love. I'm growing in mercy. I'm growing so that my condition catches up with my position. There is no true position or identity outside of Christ. So let's model being positional Christians and not conditional Christians. Amen? Let's look at purpose today. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you prophet to the nations. Now, we'll just stay right there for 1 minute. The Hebrew word translated formed is an action verb. And this same word was used when God formed Adam. So it's a creative process. God formed Adam out of the dust. And it also is a verb that's used when he talks about the potter. Okay, how many, does anybody in here do pottery? Okay, maybe not. When that master potter sits down to the wheel, what kind of sense would it make if he didn't know what he was going to make when he sat down? God knew exactly what he was doing when he made each and every one of us. He knew exactly what he was doing. So this scripture says, first we were consecrated. We were set apart. God consecrated you and set you apart before you were born, before you were even formed in your mother's womb. And I love this part. You were appointed. You know what happens when you're appointed? Nobody gets a vote. You're just appointed to the position. And nobody can vote you out either. You were all appointed. Amen? And no one can vote you out, regardless of your background, regardless of your flaws. You are appointed for a purpose. And we have been called according to God's eternal purpose. So what is my purpose? Well, if we look in Ecclesiastes, it says that God has put eternity in our hearts. He's put eternity in our hearts. So there's a longing for something more. There's a desire for something more. There's something in us that God put in us that we want to search out higher, deeper awareness of who he is. There's something else I want you to see about purpose. Romans 8:28 says, we know that, oh, we love this verse. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So that means, well, I know I'm going through a rough time, but God's going to work all this out for my good, and I'm going to come out with a high hand. And yes, that's true. But what is God's purpose? What is his real purpose? Is it for you to live in a big house? Is it for you to drive a nice car? Is it for you to have all your bills paid? Yes, he takes care of us. I understand that. But we have to know this. Why does he work all things together? So that we can have everything that we want? No, that's such a low bar. That's such a low bar for purpose. Your purpose is much greater than that. This is so that we can join God in the work of restoring a broken world back to him. That is your purpose today. We partner with God as he works with Christ and the Holy Spirit to unite all things because we've been called according to his purpose. And he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. I wanted to get just a little bit personal for a minute, but I do want to say this. Go to that next slide, Amber. We must understand the provision of God. We must understand our position. Amen? And we must understand our purpose. But here's what we also need: the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Now, you're looking, and I'll explain why I put this picture up there. I am the daughter of a one-time prodigal. Her name was Norma Gay Brown. That was my mother. And I'm also the granddaughter of Eunice Isabel Brown. And she was a faithful servant of Christ. My mother ran away from home when she was 20, and she stayed gone for 8 years, and my grandmother did not know what happened to her, if she was dead or alive. She was a true prodigal, okay, in every sense of the word. And that was when you could disappear, you know. But she ran off with my dad and disappeared. And I knew that story growing up. okay? And my mother passed away in 2000, and when she left this world, she was serving Jesus faithfully. She was playing the piano in the first church that we pastored, and we had a wonderful relationship. And she had a great relationship. See, God brings all things around. He really does. But you have to understand, I knew that was my story. And so I thought, you know, that scripture that says to the thousand generations, I was like, well, I guess it's up to me to turn my generation for the rest of my, and by the way, I thank God every day for my mother and father-in-law. Because they took me in, they taught me the things of the Lord. She gave me the best advice I've ever been given about a Pentecostal service. And I was terrified of going to a T.L. Lowry service. And she said, come and sit on this side of me. Don't make eye contact with him. And she protected me. And we have had wonderful fellowship. And I can truly say they are my parents. They are my mom and dad. And they have loved me and shown me. So I'm trying to convey how I feel because it's nothing but gratefulness. But I also felt like, I don't want to say less than, but I just felt like that's not my heritage. My heritage wasn't the Holy Spirit. My heritage wasn't full gospel. You know, and if that's you today, I just want you to know something. It is your heritage. It's your purpose. It's your position. But God, he has a way of just showing you, you know, when something happens. And in January of 2020, now I want you to track with me dates because this is very important. January 2020, my aunt and uncle had passed away. And we went to their house. They had no children, a bunch of spiritual children, but no children. And I was going through a box, and this bulletin fell out of the box. And I looked at the date on it, and it said, testimony of Eunice Brown, February 9th, 1966. I was born January 18th, 1966, while my mother was living in prodigal land. And I did not meet my grandmother till I was 2 years old. Okay, so understand the timing here. She wrote this testimony, typed it up, put it in the church bulletin. I found it in 2020. I was born January 18th, 1966. I was 3 weeks early. January 18th to February 9th is 21 days. Come on. That's not a coincidence. While my mother was away from God, my grandmother was writing her testimony. And she was praying for my mother every day. She did not know I existed, but she was praying for me every day in the Spirit. And this is why I know it was in the Spirit. Now, this may not be important to you, but I want to tell you something. This was one of a life-changing moment for me. Because I used to think, well, my family, they were good people, they were Christians, but they weren't Spirit-filled. So we were not quite there. I don't know how to explain that. Maybe some of you felt that way too, because that's not your heritage. But I want you to understand what my grandmother said. And I'm not going to read it all, but this was the part that leapt out at me. She said, I was saved at age 13. She was saved. Then she said, in the summer of 1942, I went to a holiness camp meeting service. The evangelist preached on, I'm reading her words, being filled with the Holy Spirit after you have been saved. After you have been saved. I ran to the altar because I knew this was what I longed for. I don't remember what I said. I couldn't understand it. But all that I had, I laid at the Lord's feet. 1942 was when this happened. And then she says this, I laid my husband, what little talent I had, and I laid my baby girl. That was my mother. She said, when I was saved, I knew I was on the way to heaven. But this power was like a sweet, refreshing shower. And it made me not only ready for heaven, but for anything else that would come into my life. Can I tell you, my grandmother lost 2 children. She had a lot of heartache. But I do remember her house felt like a safe place for me. When I was a child and we would back and forth and my dad would go to jail and then we'd have to be back at grandma's house. But it felt so safe. And I understand now. I understand now. But I want you to understand, going back to Genesis 3:15. She said, I have one goal, and that is to make heaven my home, to be used of the Lord. And as long as I have breath in my body, I will fight evil and the devil with all of my strength. She said these words, with every ounce of strength I can muster. That's a word we don't hear. Anybody ever been on a cruise? Muster stations? It means battle stations. She was battling. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. She was battling in 1942. And I'm standing here today because of what she prayed, because of what she battled. Yeah. So I want to remind all of us, and I want to remind especially the women today, you are destined to show up and speak up. You are destined to pray. Ever heard the term praying grandma? Praying mama? I've never heard praying daddy. I mean, I'm not saying you don't. You should. But I'm just saying all the testimonies talk, oh, I had a praying grandma. Why? Because God said this in the beginning, back to Genesis 3:15. You and Satan are going to have a deep and mutual hatred for each other. A deep and mutual hatred. And he knows, ladies, when you show up and when you go up in worship and when you go up in prayer, you will crush his head. Amen? God said, woman, you are going to be Satan's worst nightmare. And you know what? He takes this seriously. My question is, do we? Are we taking it seriously? What God has called us to be. That's why throughout history, the enemy has tried to get you to sit down and be quiet. Now, I'm not, she's being a feminist. No, that's not what I'm saying. But you know it's true. Throughout history, throughout church history, and recent church history, we have been told, sit down and be quiet. And that is not what the Word of God says. No, it is not. Women speak on an average 30% more than men. Why is that? God wants you to speak up and show up. He wants you to speak over your family, speak over this next generation, all of these kids sitting here, speak over them, speak life, amen? Speak to this next generation. Speak the inheritance of provision, position, purpose, and power. Now, you may think that legacy is only for the rich and famous. But I'm here to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. Not one thing could be further from the truth because, as a matter of fact, money is the easiest thing to leave someone. And it's gone the quickest too, by the way. In case you haven't noticed that, it has nothing to do with status. When we accept the provision of God that He laid out for us and we get in position and we walk in purpose, then we can affect those around us and teach them about their position and their purpose in God. The last thing I want to read here, and Nicole, I think you read this. Psalm 145, verse 4 and 6. well, 4 through 6, but this is one part of it. One generation after another will celebrate your great works. They will pass on the story of your powerful acts to their children. Ladies, I just want to know, are you doing this today in your family? Are you speaking life to your family? Dad, are you speaking life? Are you standing guard? Come on, guys, I'm asking. Are you standing guard at your home? Are you keeping the gate in your home? Mom, Dad, it's important. It's important what we leave the next generation. Stand with me today. The feeling that I had when I found that old church bulletin, let me tell you, we were going through a lot of boxes. It was a lot of pictures. Side note, put names and dates on the back of your pictures. Go do it today. Okay? Because we were going through a lot of stuff. And it just fell out. And I said, why would my aunt keep this? And then when I saw, oh, it's the testimony of my grandma. And then I started reading and I was like, oh my gosh, she was spirit filled. Now I know why. She was running up and down the back hallway of her house screaming. She was praying in the spirit. And as a kid, I didn't know what she was doing. Isn't that amazing? God brings us full circle today. Amen? Amen. What a great day. You can leave a legacy. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Now, first I want to ask if there's one person in here today that says, you know, I don't even know how to leave a legacy. I haven't even accepted the provision of God. If you need to accept Jesus as your Savior, or you need to come back to God today, would you lift your hand? Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Now, if you would say, today, God, I want to step into position. I have been out of position, and my condition is just a mess today, God. If that's you, come on, start praying. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, every person who is out of position, God, I pray that you would put them back in position. Lord, help them understand their identity is in you, Christ. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're struggling with purpose, I'm going to help you today. Your purpose is to be a kingdom person. Your purpose, just like the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's your purpose today, is to bring people into the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It's to witness to your community. That's your purpose today. And today, if you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, he is readily available to you. The Word of God says he is no respecter of persons. You ask, what father does not give something good to their children when they ask for it? You ask the Father, and he will give it to you. Lift your hands right now in the name of Jesus. God, I speak. I speak provision in this house. God, this is a house of provision today. God, in the name of Jesus, we get in position, Lord. We want to be in step with you as a body today, Lord. God, show us purpose today. And Father, fill this house with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, let the river of God flow in this place in the name of Jesus. Come on, I need to hear you pray today, church. Let the river of God flow in this place. Holy Ghost, have your way today. And we'll give you all the glory, all the honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on and clap your hands and bless him today. Thank him for his provision.